Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Thank you for being our God and Father. Thank you for being both utterly transcendent and utterly immediate. Thank you for all the different ways that you walk with us and encourage us. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that in all things, help us to genuinely seek you out, to genuinely seek your heart, and to glorify you in everything we say and everything we do. Help us, Lord, to honor you. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to seek your face and to keep you holy in all that we do here. Help us to have what we need today just to get through this day. And then I pray also, Lord, that you forgive us for all the different ways that we've sinned against you and against one another. I pray that you forgive us to the degree to which we have forgiven those around us in your name and to honor you as an act of worship. We pray that you be glorified. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to turn our face away from that sin and to turn it toward you. We give you this day and pray that you be glorified forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish that I could tell you that 2021 is going to be so much better than 2020. I mean, there's whole memes on the internet about how 2020 is horrible. And let me be honest, again, yeah. I mean, I think I've said a couple of times, when the perkiest part of the season, perkiest part of the year, has been the invasion of the murder hornets. Yeah. It's not a good year. I mean, California's still on fire, the last thing I knew. You just had orange skies over Los Angeles, like Blade Runner. You just, it's been a bad year. You've had violence and discord and murders and, oh, global pandemic. Lots of things have gone spring. I wish we could say that everything's going to be better now. I was actually just reading an article yesterday where somebody was saying, now that Biden's in office, everything will be good. I'm not sure that you understand reality. I'm really not. Because the truth is, individuals and nations rarely end up where they weren't pointing. You can't say everything went wrong the moment Trump entered the White House because somehow he was voted into the White House. So I don't think you can say that everything's going to be great the moment Biden gets into the White House. I mean, there's already protests from the left side of the political fence against Biden. So I just don't think we can say that everything's going to be wonderful the moment 2021 rolls around. I mean, if anything, the election shows us that our country is statistically almost amazingly perfectly divided. That's not just going to go away in January. I wish I could say that everything's going to be great. 2021 is going to be a paradise. But the last time we had paradise here on Earth, we screwed it up. And that was a long time ago. Now, some of us sit there and go, that's just not fair. It's just not fair. This isn't the Christmas that I wanted. This isn't the Thanksgiving that I wanted. By the way, I didn't even get to see my mom and dad and my son on Thanksgiving night because I was quarantined with my lovely wife, whom I love. But so, I mean, I couldn't see family. It's not the Thanksgiving I would have wanted. Bet your Thanksgiving wasn't necessarily what you wanted. And there are people saying, that's just not fair. I guess it kind of depends on how you define the word fair, because this morning's kind of a day for definitions. I mean, if fair is, that's not what I like, I'm actually not sure that's what the definition of the word fair is. So maybe we need to pull out a dictionary and nail that one down, because I don't think that's fair. If you say, it's not fair because it's not what I'm used to, it's not fair with all the other years, it's not exactly the same thing that last year was, it never is. It never is the same. You've got a new baby, you've lost an uncle, it's never the same thing that last Christmas was, last Thanksgiving was. It just doesn't work like that. If you say it's fair, it's not fair because it's not what I deserve. That one gets interesting. Because there's really nothing in life that guarantees fairness. And any time that we as a species try to guarantee fairness, we are patently unfair. You want to guarantee that somebody has fair access? Okay, well then you can't guarantee that they will have a fair conclusion based on everybody else. You want to make sure that everybody has the exact same fair, equitable conclusion? Well then you can't guarantee fair access. You have to be unfair on that end. You can never be totally fair. If by fair you mean making sure everybody gets everything exactly the same, exactly the way they want, exactly what they think they deserve. This never happens. In fact, when we got everything we wanted, everything, God says, I created you perfect. Your bodies are perfect. You're in perfect harmony with the world around you. You have the perfect spouse. Perfect spouse. Designed just for you. Perfect compatibility, perfect connection with the environment, perfect connection with the animals around you, perfect connection with God. Everything's perfect. You have everything you could ever imagine. One caveat, don't eat from this tree. But you get everything you could ever imagine, ever wanting. And our response? What tree is that? And go for the tree. What is fair? When I think of fairness, I think I don't want what I deserve. I don't think I really want to push for what I deserve, what I've earned at Wendy's hand. I've never been the perfect husband. I don't think I want fairness there. Not really. I don't think I want fairness as a father. I've not been a perfect father, not a perfect pastor, not a perfect teacher. In fact, as I've been going through old notes, and I was reminded by so many emails that I had kept that remind me that I'm an imperfect pastor. And I think of something that was patently, grossly unfair. And that was the cross. It was unfair to God. But it's also unfair to me. I didn't deserve that. I mean, that's the nature of grace, isn't it? Getting something you didn't deserve. For that matter, if we can say that Christ's death was unfair, I'm pretty sure we can say his birth was unfair, too. We're told in Scripture that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of David, two young kids just starting out in the suburbs. Yeah. Okay, maybe more like, less like East Peoria, less like Tremont and Dunlap, maybe more a little bit like Chillicothe. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you," which is awesome. And we're told that Mary was amazing, and that's why she deserves such good treatment at the hands of the angel. Sure, whatever. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wonders what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary," because that's what an angel always has to say. When you see angels, they always have to go, "It's okay. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Yeshua, the Lord saves. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." You go, wow, she had to be really good to deserve that. Nobody's been good enough to deserve that. No, that's patently unfair in terms of giving her more than she deserved. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? We learned in health class, and the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, and rightly so. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren, is already in her sixth month of pregnancy. Nothing is impossible with God, and none of that's fair. Elizabeth was older and barren and yet is somehow having a child. That's not normal. But it's also not fair to Mary because she's not married yet. I mean, this is a wonderful promise, but at the same time, it's a horrible life change. This is going to stink for Mary and Joseph. I'm the Lord's servant, she answered, like immediately. It's patently unfair. This is going to, like, destroy your life. Okay, well, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. That's the classiest thing we ever see Mary do, is immediately say, okay? It's a great blessing and a horrible curse. Neither one of which I arguably deserve. It's unfair both ways. Okay. Angel then went to talk to Joseph before they came together when he found out that she was with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband-to-be, her fiancé, was a righteous man, didn't want to expose her to public disgrace because that's what the angel was telling her. You're going to have horrible public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, why would he want to divorce her quietly? Why would he want to avoid public disgrace for her? I mean, she obviously cheated on him. She obviously treated him poorly. It's not even remotely fair to Joseph. But neither one of these people is necessarily thinking about what's fair to them. After he considered doing the classy thing and protecting Mary, even though it would probably hurt himself. After that, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Immanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, so again, very first thing, he did what the angels of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Best thing we ever see Joseph do. He called to do something unfair, and he says, yeah, okay. Absolutely. But you can accept the unfair. I don't mean to say you think, oh, that's as great. But you can say, you know what, this isn't what I deserved. If you remember that none of it is what you've deserved. None of the grace of God is something we could arguably say we deserved at his hands. Maybe get past trying to think of what you feel you deserve or what you feel the universe owes you or what you feel God owes you. Maybe we just remind ourselves that God is patently unfair because he's too busy being absolutely, consistently, unwaveringly good. He is too busy being right in every sense of that term to focus on being fair. Maybe that is why Paul could say that he prays for those people in Thessalonica and appreciates that they have endurance that's inspired by the hope that they have in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can get through it because you're not focused on getting what you deserve right now, shaking somebody by the scruff of their collar and saying, I am owed this. Whining and complaining and throwing your crayons because you didn't get what you felt you deserved. But that when you take a stand, it's not to get what you deserve. You take a stand for what's right, for what's good. You want to honor God. It's inspired by the hope that you have in the God who very lovingly has treated you patently unfairly. We didn't deserve the advent, the coming of Jesus Christ at a cold night in Bethlehem. And we don't deserve what he did 33 years later on the cross in Jerusalem. We didn't deserve it. It's not fair. Praise God. Right? At the end of 2020, the end of a year that has been unpleasant, patently unfair, I think of Megan not having the campus ministry experience that she had hoped to have. I think of Alex having a quarter of his college life ripped away from him. It's not fair. But perhaps I will needlessly drive myself nuts, focusing on what I don't have, begrudging it. Especially since it doesn't help me in any way. Perhaps I am much better served, by appreciating the blessings. Appreciating the unfairness that my God has given me. Just a thought as we head toward Christmas. And remember the unfairness of God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you for the most precious Christmas gift we've ever received. Your willingness to come here for us and give us what we have not deserved. Lord, I pray, help us to embrace one another, to embrace you, to take a deep breath, and be less concerned about unfairness than we are about righteousness. And we pray, Lord, help us to live that righteousness out with labors inspired by our love and prompted by our love. We pray that in all these things we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Shine that, reflect that on all those around you. In Jesus' name.